I got the opportunity to go on my first mission trip when I was in high school. And during that trip, I got to experience possibly, in high school, I got to experience the opportunity to be in a foreign country and how that changed me. But most importantly, I got to see that I, as a teenager, could make a significant difference. And that if I was just bold enough to share my faith, that often people would respond. And it's large years ago, I got to lead a youth trip here to the Philippines. And it was on that trip that I got to experience and watch many of the young people that you've seen today, even some of the members that were on stage, get the same opportunity to go and make an impact, to reach out and share their faith and watch as people responded. And on that trip 6 years ago was a young man named Garrett Grant, who is now our senior high youth pastor. And absolutely. So today I get the great honor and privilege of passing him the stage, because he's going to share with us what our summer youth, our youth group is doing this summer. And they're going back to the Philippines, except I'm not on the trip. Garrett's leading the trip. So Garrett, come on up.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Let's see if my clicker's working here. Oh, sweet. Great. So today we're going to do things a little bit differently since I'm in charge. In the front rows here, there are these little notes on it that say reserved for you. What we'd like to do today is we'd like to invite everybody to come fill up these first four rows here. And if it happens to be that there's just so many people in church today, and all these first rows get filled, just raise your hand and Susan will come by and pass you a reserved for you card. We tried to do the math and get the numbers right, but you know, sometimes you just don't get it right. Oh, it kind of feels like youth group still. Just older youth. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's right. I have a little bit of a list, but I don't think it's like, you know, projectile. So. Steve's scared. So the reason that we have the reserved for you signs today is that a lot of the time when you walk into a restaurant or maybe to a movie theater or, sports events, there's sections that are cut off and they're said reserved, right? And typically, it's not for us, right? It's typically for someone who has more money or more influence or, more power or something like that. But not today. In the kingdom of God, there's a spot reserved for everyone. And so today, we reserved spots for each and every one of you, because you are important enough to have them. I'd like to start our service off today with a couple stories from many, many years ago. 6 years ago. So this is Kelsey and I in 2010 on that trip to the Philippines that BJ was talking about. And at the time, there was no love interest. We didn't know that we were going to get married. But God works all things for good, right? So I feel like I went out in that deal. This trip for me, when I went on this trip the first time, I was born a Christian, raised in a Christian home, but in high school, I had kind of started to walk away from that, and it was right at this point where I was new to Adventure Youth Group, and this trip happened to come along, and I was able to go. And I want to share two stories from this trip that had significant impact for me. The first one was because of my Christian upbringing and the things that I knew were right and the things that I knew were wrong and the battle I was in between living them, I had a lot of shame, and I never told anybody, you know, my whole story. You know, the things that I had done, the things I was proud of, the things I was ashamed of. And one night, I took one of the senior students, and I asked him, I said, hey, can I share my life with you? Can I share my story with you? And he was super cool about it. He said, "Yeah, absolutely. Let's go find a sweet place to hang out." So we went into just a room that was, it was kind of dark, and there was like one light kind of shining over two chairs there. And and I began sharing my story with him, and I began talking through, you know, my childhood and then my parents' divorce, and then you know, where I had turned to for life in high school and the dating and let's just say the very colorful past that my story is involved in. And as I was talking to him, I was looking at the floor most of the time, because I felt so much shame and I felt so much burden over my mistakes. And as I was just talking and looking at the ground, he took his finger and he put it right under my chin, and he made me look him in the eyes. And he said, "You better keep your head up when you tell your story, because it's your story." And I just remember feeling all of the shame and all of the guilt. I understood that my decisions had still been wrong, but all the shame and all the guilt had fallen away, because one student had told me that my story was important. Yeah, it was good. In prepping for this, I love pouring over the old memories. Second story I want to tell you about is titled "Story of the Storm." Oh, interesting. So we got an opportunity to do evangelism on a beach one night, and after we were done with that, we were just kind of messing around, you know, in the waves and in the sand. And this massive storm was beginning to roll in from the sea onto the coast. And, you know, the sky was darkening, and the big thunder clouds were, you know, billowing in. The water, which was normally green, had turned pitch black. And all the little fishing boats, which were tied to, you know, like a thin rope and a makeshift anchor, were kind of like being pitched and turned by the waves and the wind. And for all that commotion, it was an incredibly still moment for me. It was very peaceful. And I remember looking into the horizon, and I remember hearing the Lord kind of speak to my heart. And it was, I don't know, it was almost like a whisper or a promise or something that was said very tenderly and intentionally. But he said, "Just beyond the horizon, just beyond the darkest night, I am there. Hold on until the sun comes up, and I will be there." And I can't help but believe and think that in these moments, God was calling me back home. That as he was going after my heart through my friend and speaking to me in that moment, that he was saying, "Garrett, here's an invitation for you. I want you to come back home. I want you to come be a part of my kingdom." And the craziest thing to me was that I was on that beach because two other individuals had decided to go and follow God to the Philippines. That couple was Wes and Judy Robbie. So if you don't know, this picture was drawn by Maddie Clemens. And I just, before I tell you about Fruit Bearers, I have to show you this, okay? This is so funny, okay. Here's the original photo she drew it from. He's like, check this out, okay? Like, here's a line in his shirt. Here's a line in his shirt, you know, right? Here's the gap in the hair. Here's the gap in the hair. It's incredible. Maddie, you are a great artist. I spent like 20 minutes laughing about this. And so that's why I decided to go with this photo for, you know, today. Wes and Judy are part of an organization called Fruit Bearers Ministries. They work in the Philippines. And actually, that's not the photo I want. That's the photo I want. Here's a little guy. He's 3 years old. You can see he's got a club foot right down there. And they found him at the end of a long road on the edge of a mountain in the Philippines. And so Fruit Bearers, their whole mission started with this phrase right here. This is a quote from Wes, quoting God, so double quote, I guess. But and basically, the Lord said, "Wes, you don't know how many disabled kids are in those mountains, but I do. Now go find them and show them my love. And so fruit bearers is kind of, everything that fruit bearers does is based around that message. They are going into the hills, into the areas that are unseen, unheard, finding children like this three-year-old with either physical disabilities, mental disabilities, hearing disabilities, sight disabilities, you name it, and providing for them, getting them surgeries, not simply bringing the gospel. They're bringing the gospel in so many ways, and you're going to hear about that later, but they're focused on healing the physical and the spiritual. So when we went back in 2010, Fruit Bearers was just kind of up and running. So we met with Wes and Judy and worked with a different organization. But now, instead of being students, Kelsey and I and a group of leaders, we get to go back and work with Wes and Judy as leaders. And there's a whole new team, a whole new group of students. I want to show you our logo for the trip. So this is our Philippines 2016 trip logo. If you can see, look, it's right here in the corner. Yeah, sorry, I did that on purpose. So on all of, you know, all the signs, the garage sale things, the coffee cart, as we're getting more into promoting this trip, you're going to see that logo a lot around here. So I'll tell you about the team, right? We'll start with the students, move into the leaders from there. But I absolutely love the students we have in youth group. Each and every one of them. So I couldn't fit them all on one slide, but so here's 10, right? Some of them had really great pictures. Some of them had to be cropped out of other pictures. You know, social media is really cool. So we have Maddie Clemens, Paris Still Deegan, Alex Graff, Joey Griffin, Andy Griffin, Lydia Hansen, Bear Hansen, Sarah Hamas, Jason Hamas, Stephen Jenkins, who's looking good. Look at that. Zach Cobe, Elliot Lawrence, Mike Madera himself, Spencer Matthews, Nathan Michael, and Ben Michael. So as you're hearing more about the trip, I'm sure some of you may have gotten support letters already. We tried to create a system where you didn't get 40 of them. If that happens, lucky you. And so as you're getting your support letters, as you're thinking about the trip and you want to pray for specific people, these are the students right here. These are the students who have said yes. They went through a rigorous interview process. They had to meet the deadlines, show up in an interview, dressed up. That didn't stop a student showing up in a cat shirt. Bet you can't guess which one it was. But needless to say, they've all been through a process in order to come on this trip, and they all made it through with flying colors. I'm so impressed with the students coming on this trip, and I'm so excited to take them over there. The leaders, so Wes and Judy, obviously, there's that same picture again. Maddie, this is your next drawing thing, right? I want you to redraw that. We're going with Wes and Judy. I'm going, and Kelsey's going. She was the cute girl who did the announcements today. And then we have Dan and Kirsten Grant, Abby Lawrence, and then Sarah Ulrich. Just say them both. I feel really blessed and supported by this team. We're all doing youth ministry together right now, minus Kirsten, but Kirsten's been involved in youth ministry. Kirsten's also a really experienced traveler. She went to the Philippines with us the first time, knows, you know, international boundary lines and what to do in all those situations. So we're really excited to have her. Her husband, Dan, super great guy, really chill, brings joy into everything that he does. Kids absolutely love him, look up to Dan. Abby and Sarah are both unique in their own way. Sarah, actually, I don't have as much to say about Sarah because I'm still getting to know her, but I've enjoyed the process of having her on our team and finding out how God has gifted her to hang out with students and her servant's heart. And then Abby is just an absolute joy to have around. Lastly, Kelsey. Kelsey has told me many, many times she's my number one supporter. And I believe that. And so for me to go over there with her, one, to relive our dream of returning together to the Philippines, and two, to go with, you know, my wife, my best friend. And thirdly, just kind of a throw-in, she's the nurse, so. So that's the team of students and the leaders. With a team like this, I can't wait to see what God does with us over there. So this is here's why we're going over to the Philippines. This is our mission statement: to see the kingdom of God established in Negros Oriental, that's the province, Philippines, by proclaiming God's name, worshiping God in heart and deed, and practicing a servant's heart. So pretty vague, but still good, right? Right? Here's a little bit more about what we're going to do. Before I get into that, this right here is Genesil. If you heard Wes and Judy come and talk about fruit bearers before, this was the girl who was badly burned in a fire. When they first showed her picture, her chin was connected to her chest and all that sort of stuff. This is what she looks like now after her surgeries. And so she's had multiple surgeries, she's had multiple surgeries and she's looking great. We get an opportunity to go over there, and we are going to build a church structure in Genesil's village. I'll get into that more as we go on here, but I just wanted to point out that Genesil is doing really well. So, first thing we're going to do, obviously partner with Wes and Judy, and we're going to spread the gospel. We're going to schools, we're going to go into squares, we're going to find anybody that we can, chuck a student at them, and say, go tell them about Jesus. Right, we'll be running a local church service for a Filipino church, so the students can have opportunity, you know, leading a church service. But we'll also be attending a different church service so that, you know, we can see what does a church service look like in another part of the country. You know, they worship the same God. How do they do it their way? And partaking in that and enjoying in that. We're going to be using, they're called drimes, which is basically like silent dramas, like the Lifehouse skit that we've seen here before. There's a couple other ones. And drimes are great in the Philippines, one, because the people just absolutely love them. They just can't get enough of them. And secondly, because a lot of the people we're going to are deaf and disabled, you know, showing them Christ instead of just talking about it, not that one is more important than the other, they're both really important, but is a great way to kind of break that barrier of communication. So those are really effective, and we get to teach our students how to act as well, so that's good too. The fourth one, back to Genesil, is there's a local congregation that meets on someone's porch in the Philippines, and they're quickly outgrowing that porch. And so Wes and Judy are buying the materials, and like Filipino materials, so bamboo and whatever they use for concrete and, you know, whatever. Maybe it's just concrete, I don't know. And we, the students and the leaders and Wes and Judy, are going to construct them kind of like an outdoor A-frame kind of meeting area where they can, you know, meet regularly as a church and do their Bible studies in church there. And then the last thing, interact with and learning from Filipino culture. This is not a tourist trip. One particular thing that I'm really excited for is Wes and Judy have a list of things that they need to buy for, you know, different VBSs and different orphanages and all that sort of stuff, which they've put into a scavenger hunt kind of list, right? And so we're going to, like, break the students into groups, send them into the local market, and say, here's your list, now go try and get it for a good price, which is hilarious because I remember going over there and trying to haggle and feeling like a jerk for asking for it cheaper. But the truth is, the price is like, you know, 8,000% higher anyways. So yeah, they get to experience, you know, haggling and buying things. So I fully believe and I'm fully aware that going on this trip will have huge impact overseas. An added bonus to that is that we get to disciple our own students in the process. That slide wasn't in the right spot. We're gonna be jumping around here today. So this verse, Proverbs 22:6, says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." this is our compass for youth ministry. I am a product of this verse. Kelsey and Nick and Zach Price, we're all products of this verse because when we were young, we had someone teach us the way we should go, and we're still going. This is our compass because I want to be able to run into, you know, this group of students or another student from youth group 10 years from now, like at a Safeway or in a random moment, and have them tell me about all the things that God is doing in their life. That's the goal, you know, that's the dream. So this verse is really important to what we do in youth ministry. And I think when I look at our students, I feel like we're on the right track. I look around at our students and I see, their abilities and their giftings and how committed they are to the Lord and committed to this trip. And I'm absolutely blown away. Our students are so excited for this mission. Every day, I have a student coming up with another question or another email or another concern or another emergency. And we work through it together and we get it figured out. And I love it. It's so great. Right now, I'd love to give you a behind-the-scenes look at kind of where our students are at. So I'd like to invite up Maddie Clemens and Bear Hansen. Come on, guys. Come on up. Oh, Bear, you've got the mic already. Awesome. So here, I'll stand over here, Maddie. You and Bear can have the spotlight. That's cool. So I've got a couple questions for you guys. You know, we've talked about it, so it's not a pop quiz. I might throw something in there just for fun. So Maddie, the first question is for you. So you can take the mic from Bear. I'd love for you, if you could, share a little bit about the interview process that you had to go through in order to be accepted on the trip, from turning in the application.
Well, first they kind of asked, like, where we're at and stuff like that, like, spiritually and personally, kind of. And I think it was a really cool idea and stuff like that, just to, like, get to know the students a little bit better and stuff. And it's kind of funny, when it came to interviewing, I was supposed to meet with Abby and stuff like that, so I dressed up really nice, and I looked like a flight attendant and stuff. And and then when I got to church, I was waiting, and then she never showed up. But that's okay, because I interviewed with Sarah Ulrich. Anyways. And she did really good, so... But yeah, it was really fun. She asked me stuff about like where I'm at and like what I'm good at and also what I'm bad at. And it's really like hard for me to like, you know, be like, oh yes, this is what I'm good at and be like okay with that, and also be like, oh yeah, and this is what I'm bad at and I need to change that, because it's kind of hard to recognize what you're bad at first, you know. But yeah.
So. Great. Thanks. Well, I would love to. I think and they'd love to hear as well. Tell us. Kind of a combination of why you want to go on the trip and the process of how you came to that decision.
Well, I really want to go on the trip because, well, one, I really want to be able to bless the people in the Philippines, and I think that I could help in a way. Like, I know that I really like praying, and if that's the only thing I'm good at, that's good enough, you know. And I think I can just pray for this trip and be with the people as we go on this crazy adventure and stuff like that. And yeah, just be steady rock like that.
Great. I remember reading through your interview packet. Can you share just a little bit about what the Lord said to you specifically about going on the trip?
Just one second. Can you repeat the question? My bad.
Well, on your interview packet, on all the interview packets, each student had a story of, you know, wasn't sure if I wanted to go, didn't really know if I wanted to go. You obviously always wanted to go, so I'm, you know, that's different. But when you asked the Lord about it, you know, because that was at youth group, that was the call. You know, Lord, ask the Lord, should I stay? because I know you've already called me to go, right? And so what was that, what was your conversation with the Lord about, or your prayer process of making that decision?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was praying and stuff, and I always felt called to go somewhere, but I didn't know if this was the right thing. I didn't hear God say, you should go from the sky, or any booming voice or anything like that, and I don't know, you just kind of get nervous, is this a good thing? Am I going to help him? Is he going to help through me? I don't even know, and stuff. So I was praying, and God, should I go? And he said, would you be any help not going?
Fair question.
And I was thought about it for a long while, I don't know, what would I be able to help with if I didn't go? And I felt really called to this and stuff like that. I don't know the exact words I wrote down, it was a while ago, I'm sorry, but
that's okay.
I just, he told me you should go. It's good for you, and stuff, and I think that you can do stuff for others. And I was like, oh, that sounds really cool. I like that.
Great, thank you. All right, Bear, same question for you. I personally interviewed you. Oh, you want the little pulpit here? Here we go. Yeah.
I just don't have.
There you go. Bear's ready to go. Kind of the same question. I personally did your interview, made sure you dressed up nice for job training. It's real world, Bear. Real world. And I loved hearing your story about what the image God gave you about going on the trip and all that. So would you be willing to share that and how you decided you'd come on the trip and your prayer process with the Lord with everybody?
Yeah, so I spent some time praying with my mom and dad about whether I should go, and this was before we had to turn in our applications. And one thing I heard, he gave me a verse, Mark chapter 6, verse 22, which says, they ate and were satisfied. And I just didn't really, I was thinking maybe people in the Philippines feeding them maybe. And that was when the story Jesus feeds the 5,000, and he just gave me that little piece. And then I heard another verse, which is John chapter 4, verse 34, and it says, my food, says Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so then, after that verse, I kind of put them together that he's calling me to go to the Philippines, and in order for them to be satisfied, God's love needs to be shared to them. And so that's what I got.
Thanks, man. That's really awesome. Thanks for sharing. Let's give us two round of applause. You guys can go have a seat. Thanks for sharing, you guys. Do you see why I was gushing about the students earlier? I love the students here at Adventure. I absolutely love hanging out with them. One of the biggest reasons we are going to the Philippines is so that we can hand deliver an invitation into God's kingdom to those children in the Philippines. Where we can go to them and say, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your problems are. There's a spot reserved for you. And that's part of the reason why we're going. And it's funny, it's really funny. As I was preparing for this, between Monday and Sunday today, I got to go to Arizona for my sister's graduation. And she graduated college, and it was a really good moment, and we all celebrated and partied and ate barbecue, and it was really good. But one of the things that happened was my childhood best friend happened to live in Arizona, and was able to get tickets to my sister's graduation. And he's like a brother, like an older brother to Sam. And we have this habit of seeing each other every 3 years at really random moments. Like, I went to Wisconsin one time with my grandma, and I got a text from him saying he was in Milwaukee, so we hung out in Wisconsin. You know, and so it's like, God just keeps, like, you know, bringing us together in the most random times. And so I was really excited about that. And as I was preparing, I just really felt the Lord say to me, Garrett, the kingdom is reserved for everyone. Part of me was like, why did you have to say that? I know what you want me to do. I know you want me to talk to Matt. And so I struggled with, am I really going to do it? Matt's been the friend I've known the longest for my entire life. And so the question for me was, do I really believe that God's kingdom opens to everyone? And is that worth the risk of even saying to my longest friend, bro, there's a life waiting for you. There's a life that you can have if you want it. And so we were sitting in the car, and it was a billion degrees out because we were in Arizona, and his air conditioning didn't work. And we were, like, in the car on the freeway with the windows down, and it's at that moment I decided, this is a great time to have this conversation. You know, and so I was just honest with him. I was like, hey, bro, I'm in a really hard spot. Like, I know that you grew up, you know, differently than I did. And I know that you're not into church, you're not into God, and I know that, but I'm torn because I found a life that has been so enjoyable and so wonderful, and I want you to have the same thing. I want you to come to know God. I want you to come to know Jesus, because it in my life, it's been the most transformational thing that I've ever experienced. If I really believe that the creator of the universe sent his son to die for me, then my life could never be the same. And as I made that offer to him, you know, I was respectful, and I wasn't pressuring, and his answer was, thanks, man, I really appreciate that. And that was it. Even though people may not accept the invitation, they still get one. I want to take a moment and look at the moments in the scripture where Jesus, wow, is that big enough for you guys? Can you read that? Okay, it looks really small from back there. I want to take a moment and look at the times where Jesus pretty much says in the scripture, this is who my kingdom is reserved for, right? Mark 10:13-16 reads like this. People were bringing the little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Belongs to children. Right, and how does Jesus continue to prove that point even more? And he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. Okay, get your point, God. The kingdom of heaven belongs to children. There's a spot reserved in your kingdom for children. I get it. John 5:1-9. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. So this is really interesting. Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. He's remembering his mission. You know, Jesus said that, in this, he's saying, I've come to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, his mission, yes, is for all of mankind. But in this context, he's saying, I need to talk to the Jewish people, the people of Abraham. And this woman didn't fit that context. However, we see that the woman says, Lord, even the dogs could eat the scraps from the children's table, from their master's table. And we see Jesus almost like change his mind. Now, I don't know what he's like, what his internal process is there. I don't know why he does that. But at the end of the day, what we see Jesus saying is the kingdom of God belongs to the outcast, belongs to the one outside of the circle, belongs to the one outside of why Jesus is on earth in this instant. The kingdom still belongs to them. Even as he's going through, even as he's going after Israel, he's saying it belongs to those outside of Israel as well, to the outcast. The last scripture I want to talk about today. This is a story of the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie: the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. Who does the kingdom belong to now? Who is it reserved for? The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. If you take out your reserved for you card, if you flip it over, on the back of it, it says reserved for with a blank space. We're going to take a moment right now, and we're going to play some music and throw some music through the speakers. And I want you to think of that coworker who God's been putting on your heart to invite to church, or that friend at school who you know you should invite to youth group, but you've been silent. And as the music plays, I want you to think and pray. And then I want you to write that person's name on this card. Because at the end of the day, we don't decide who gets in to the kingdom. We don't decide who the table's reserved for. We know it's reserved for everyone. But we get the honor of handing them the invitation.
More than you know. I am
staff meeting, we right now the staff, we've been going through a Bible study, and it was in Revelation, and now we're in Jeremiah. And one of the things that came up in kind of my quiet time, my time with the Lord, and in that passage was Jeremiah was saying to Judah, he's a prophet to Judah, and he was saying, Judah, you've forsaken your first love and the love of your youth. And I was thinking back myself, just going, man, what are the things that, is there anything that I've forsaken, you know, in my youth, the things that I loved and in my relationship with God? And one of the things that I was challenged by is, wow, much of my life is surrounded by believers. And so for me, I wrote on mine, reserved for my neighbors. After that time in Jeremiah, I was praying, God, will you provide opportunities for me to build relationships, not just somebody I might encounter at the grocery store, but building a relationship with somebody that's long, you know, more long term, creating an opportunity for me to be able to share my faith with someone, which is something that I always have done, you know, as a teenager, as a child. And that night, Garrett and Kelsey actually came over for dinner, and we were out just with my kids in the neighborhood, and all our kids were playing, and a bunch of the neighbor kids came out, and then a bunch of the parents came out, which is actually rare. Normally, it's just a lot of kids running around, but the parents don't really come out. And so I was in the middle of kind of throwing a frisbee with Garrett and Kelsey, and I just kind of ditched them. And I ran over to those people, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm BJ. And I introduced myself because I knew that was the opportunity, exactly what I was praying for, the opportunity to build relationships. And so I love the challenge that Garrett gave us to write down a name, you know, to write down a name for somebody that we can share the invitation to the kingdom. And so I just love to take an opportunity now to pray specifically for those people that we've written on the card. And if you haven't written something down, I want to encourage you, spend some time in prayer. Who's that person that God is leading you to share your faith with, to share your story, the story of Jesus and how he's impacted your life? And then once a month, we try to take a care offering. And the purpose of this care offering is just to help those in our community. And so I just wanted to share with you over the last quarter some of the ways that this particular fund has helped. This is different than our general offering. It doesn't help cover any expenses at the church, but simply is a way for us to give back to the community, to help out those in this community. And so over the last quarter, over $1,000 of that fund went to helping students pay for college. Over 300 went to helping with car repairs, and over 3,000 helping with medical bills. And that's because of your generosity in giving to this care fund. And so there's a box in the back. It's actually there every week, and you can give any time to the care fund. But I just wanted to point out and say thank you for the way that you have impacted this community in this church, as well as the community in Duval. And so I'd love to take an opportunity to just pray for that, as well as pray for those that God is leading us to share our faith with. And so, Jesus, I pray specifically that you would give us the boldness and the courage to share. Lord, that you would tug on our hearts, you'd give us a burden for the lost. Lord, we have been able to take a seat in your kingdom, to take a place because someone was bold enough to share with us. So, Lord, help us not to be timid in sharing the goodness that we have with others. And so I pray specifically for those written on these cards. God, would you create supernatural opportunities? Would you give us the courage to take those opportunities? And would you give us the words? Would you draw them? And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close, just some exciting things that you guys can be a part of. If you saw the announcement, the youth group is having a garage sale. It's at the Morrissey's. The address is in your bulletin. So if you would like to volunteer, you have some things that you want to donate, you can make donations next door downstairs. Just drop them off there. Or if you'd like to volunteer, just hang out with the students as they're doing that. The address and information can be found in your bulletin. Second, we have an opportunity to hire some students. And so if you have any specific needs or, you know, yard work or babysitting or something creative that you can come up with and you want to hire a high school student, all the proceeds of that will go to the mission trip. So take advantage of that. There's going to be a table set up. If not, you can just check with Garrett and let him know what needs you have. And then lastly, the high schoolers have taken it upon themselves to begin our espresso cart. And so they're out there making drinks, and all the proceeds of that will go to the mission trip. And so if you need a pick-me-up this morning and you missed your coffee, take advantage of that. We have donuts and coffee next door, and the opportunity to have prayer.